In American law, a professional who negligently fails to act according to the standards of his profession and thereby causes harm to his client has committed the tort of malpractice. Halacha has quite a bit to say on this topic, although there is actually no unified concept of malpractice. Rather, there are a number of different sugyas that discuss scenarios that fall under this general rubric of malpractice, and the Gemara considers them from the perspectives of nizakin, damages, shomrim, baileys, people supposed to watch property, and golos, er miklat, if you actually kill somebody negligently in the course of your profession. Now, these sugyas are more or less independent, although the Rishonim and the Poskim do try to harmonize them by applying some of the principles and rules from one to the other. Several of these sugyas include the Gemara in Bava Kamma about an uman, an artisan, various types of artisans who damage the property that they're working on. That's discussed in Shulchan Aruch Hashem Mishpat, Simon Shinvav. Dayanim, who err and cause harm to the litigants by ruling incorrectly. That's a couple of sugyas in Sanhedrin, in the first parak, in the fourth parak, and that's discussed in Chashen Mishpat, Simon Chaf Hei. And doctors who harm or kill their patients, that's based on several Toseftas, and that's discussed in Shulchan Aruch and Yerodei and Simon Shin Lamed Vav. In this lecture, we will discuss two of these sugyas. The first portion of our lecture will discuss the Gemara in Bava Kamma about artisans, and the second half will discuss doctors, what we think of as medical malpractice. So the Sugya in Bava Kamma discusses various types of artisans, including a shochet, a tabach, a slaughterer, various other types of artisans. The focus of the first part of the Sugya is largely on tabach. First, the Gemara brings a memra. Shmuel said, tabach uman shekilkel, an expert tabach who damages the animal, chayev l'shalem, mazik u'pasheyahu. He's chayev, he's a mazik, he's a pasheya. But that's not quite the maskana, because even here the Gemara explains that mazik hu pasheyahu means that he's chayev even b'chinam, even if he's not getting paid. The Gemara subsequently concludes that this is true only if he gets paid. The Gemara brings a memra of Rabbi Yochanan, tabach uman shekel kel chayev again, afilu hu uman ketav chetzipari, even if he's a great expert. The Gemara has a kasha on that. That there's a case where Rabbi Yochanan patered somebody because he was an expert, and the Gemara says, kan b'chinam, kan b'schar. B'chinam, he is potter. If he was acting for free, he was potter. If he was getting paid, then he's chayev. The Gemara brings a memra of Rabbi Zeira, harotze shi's chayev lo tabach, yachtim lo dinar. If the client wants the tabach to be responsible for any damage, he should advance him. We'll discuss the significance of advancing later, but he should advance him money. Now, why is a tabach uman, an expert tabach, who damages potter if he was not getting paid? So Rashi in the Sugya says, potter d'onesu. There's an accident, it's not his fault, he's an onus. The Rush in Sanhedrin in the fourth parak, Simon Hay, and the Sman, Simon Shinvav, following him, bring a somewhat different reason. The Rush says, first discussing a dayan, he says, kiva de mumchehu v'lo hayaroi litos, he should not have made this mistake. Ela de mazle dehu gavra garam. It was the litigant's mazel that caused this to happen. V'chein tabach uman shekelkel is the same thing. It's apparently an issue of mazel. And the Sma says this explicitly. The Sma says about the tabach in Simon Shinhei and Simon Shinvav, de kivan shu mumchev ein a rogil lava michshel zeliyado. This was a freak thing. This is uncommon. Amrinan de mazel de baal behema garam lo. This was the bad fortune of the baal behema, and he is not responsible. Avol shachta b'schar, if he was getting paid, then havel chayev d'avel lizar tfei. Then he should have been more careful. It's difficult to know what to do with mazel. Mazel is a concept that appears in Chashen Mishpat and other places, but in this particular sugya, most of the poskim don't seem to do much with the idea of mazel, and they try to analyze the exemption of the slaughterer who was not getting paid using more conventional halachic categories. So as we've seen, Rashi says the reason is because he was an onus. And the truth is, this is really hard to understand. By way of introduction, we have to point out that there are two ways to understand the chiyuv of the artisan, the tabach, or the other artisans in the sugya. There is the idea of mazik, torts, someone who damages someone else's property. And then there's the idea of shomer, someone who's supposed to watch property and doesn't, and negligently causes harm, allows harm to happen to the property. Now, when it comes to Adam Mazik, there's a well-known rule, Adam Mu'ad La'olam. We don't look for negligence. Adam, a person is always responsible for what he does. So many, many poskim ask, Rishonim and Achronim, how do we understand this sugya? Why is there an exemption if he was acting b'chinam a shomer depends on whether he's getting paid or not. The classic distinction between a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar has a higher level of responsibility. He's chaya for gneiv and aveda, not just for pshia, because he's getting paid. But adam amazik, adam muad la'olam, a person is responsible for everything that he does. So whether he's getting paid or not, why is there no din of adam muad la'olam for this tabach? So there are basically three approaches in the Rishon. The first approach is Tosis, briefly over here in the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Tes, and at greater length in the beginning of Hameniach and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Tosis says, Aflagav de'adam muad la'olam, even though this is true that adam muad la'olam, ba'onis kihai lo mechayev adam amazik. It's not really true, not all onis. He is muad, he does have heightened responsibility, but that does not mean that literally anything he's chayev, certain things he's potter for. This is just one line in our Daf. Tosis says it's at much greater length on Daf Chav Zayin. He says, Ones Gomer la Rabbi Rachmana. The Torah did not mean to say that a mazik is liable for Ones Gomer. He brings many rayas from Gemaras all over Shas that indicate that in certain scenarios a mazik is not chayev because it's not really his fault. And the underlying principle is this principle, he says, Adam Mod La'olam does not really mean always. It means a higher level than a Shomer Chinam. He says, certainly he's responsible beyond Pshia, even if he is not strictly Pashaya, but it does not apply to all Onesim. Tosis gives us some guidance for determining when a mazik is chayev or not. He basically establishes that there are four levels. We know from the laws of Shomrim that there are generally three. A Shomer Chinam has the least responsibility and he's chayev only for pshia, gross negligence. A Shomer Sachar, a Shomer who gets paid, has an intermediate level of responsibility. He's chayev beyond pshia, even for gneiv and aveda, for theft and loss, but not for ones gomer. So he's chayev for kind of quasi-negligence, but not for ones gomer, for complete accident. A shoel is chayev even ba'onsim. Now Tosfos expands these three, based on a Gemara Bav Metzia, to be actually four levels. Gneiv and Aveda, even though they always go together, and we always even abbreviate them as Gimel Vav Alev, Gneiv and Aveda, the Gemara actually indicates are actually two different standards. Aveda is krova l'pshia, is close to negligence, and Gneiv is krova l'ones, it's close to ones gomer. So there are actually four levels. Pshia, Aveda, Gneva, and Ones Gomer. Tosfos says that a Mazik, who's Muad La'olam, splits the difference. He's chayev for Pshia and beyond Pshia, even for Aveda, but he's potter for Gneva and certainly for Ones Gomer. So according to Tosfos, a Mazik, who's Muad La'olam, is actually in between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar. He has more liability than a Shomer Chinam. Even beyond Pshia, he's chayev for Aveda, which a Shomer Chinam is not. But he's not chayev for gneiva, and certainly not on his gomer. He's not even as responsible as a shomer sachar. And one of the many rayas Tosfos brings is from our Gemara. He says, the Gemara says that the tabach is potter if he's bechinam. The Gemara had a havmina, we saw that he was chayev, even bechinam, and the maskana is not. So Tosfos explains that the havmina was that he's chayev al havmina, that this is like aveda, and he's chayev al havmina, and the maskana is, since he's not getting paid, as long as he's not getting paid, this is kein gneiva, and therefore this is level number three, and therefore he is potter. So this opinion of Tosfos that the person who works pro bono b'chinam is potter because adam amazik is potter for ones gomer and even gneiva is also the opinion of the Rashba. Again, briefly on this sugya and at greater length in Hameniach, the Rashba says even though adam muad la'olam bein ar bein yashin, whether he's sleeping or awake, but ones kihai not this particular ones. And according to Tosfos and the Rashba, so why is he chayev if he is getting paid? So one could learn possibly that becomes shomrim. But the Rashba says, "Bischar chayev lahachi yavilei agra ki hechi delei dektfei." If he's getting schar, he has a heightened responsibility. And the Achronim seem to go with this, that it's always mazik. Just if he's not getting paid, then the standard is higher. He has to reach a higher level of negligence before he's chayev. If he's getting paid, then you have this far of the Rashba, that since I'm paying you, I expect a higher level of diligence, and the rules for mazik change, and now you're chayev as a mazik. So this is the opinion of Tosfos and the Rashba, the first of the three approaches to the sugya, why there is no chiyuv of adam muad la'olam for a tabach who was slaughtering bechinam. The second approach is the approach of the Riva, one of the Balei Tosfos and the Ramban, and various other Rishonim. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and the end of Perikei Tzedek Regel, and the Shita Mekubetz is also B'Shem Rabbeinu Peretz, they bring a different approach. They say that the reason there's no din of Adam Muad La'olam for the Tabach is because Kivan Shu Shomer Chinam Lo Shayech Podin Adam Amazik, once he's a Shomer, we don't have the category of Adam Amazik, it's one or the other. They're mutually exclusive categories. Sharei Olav Mutel Is Asik B'Dover. since it's his responsibility to operate with this thing, he no longer has the chiyuv of adam amazik. Another formulation of the Rivaz language is, since they are working for the on behalf of, for the benefit of the victim, it becomes like a shamer and works with the rules of shamerim, but not, no longer adam amazik. This is also the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban is in Bav Metzia and Daf Pei Beis in the Chiddushim. He argues at great length with Tosfos also and says adam mod la'olam means always, and all the different gemaras that Tosfos brings, he has different yichuyim for. Some of the gemaras, he says, is an element of negligence by the victim, so that's why the mazik is pater. Regarding our gemara of Tabach Shekilkel, he says, Ein ba'uman hatoa b'malachta mishum nizik. An uman hatoa b'malachta, an artisan who errs in his work, cannot be adam mazik, and it has to work with the rules of Shomrim. So this is basically the same approach as the Riva. Interestingly enough, one of the rayas that we shouldn't talk about is the gemara that says, adam mod la'olam includes nafal min hagag baruch metzuya, a person who is blown off by ruch she'ena metzuya, a person who is blown off the roof by an uncommonly strong wind. So the Rashba said, going with the Mahalach of Tosfos, that's not an honest gomer. You could be careful. You could avoid being blown off by strong winds too. Roman says, no, strong wind means any wind, even a wind like Elio, the great wind that blew Elio away. People talk about hurricanes, a 1-in-100-year hurricane. The Ramban is saying, Ruch she'ena metzuya means any Ruch she'ena metzuya. And some of those Ruch she'ena metzuyas are clearly going to be so infrequent, he says, so unlikely that they qualify as an onus gomer, and still you are chayev. This is the second of the two shitas, that there's no adam amazik because once you're working for the victim, you cannot be adam amazik anymore, and we have to analyze your liability from the perspective of shomer. Now the achronim suggests that several other rishonim also take this view. The major rishonim are not clear. Most rishonim probably do not mention this chiluk, but they also don't say one way or another about it. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, never explicitly say whether they accept a distinction between onus gomer and not. The halachas of this gemara of Tabach Shekilkel are brought in Hilchas Socher, and some people want to be medayik that the Rambam did not understand it was adam amazik, but there's nothing really explicit in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and many Rishonim which way they go. Nevertheless, the Achronim do try to be medayik from several other Rishonim what they hold about this issue. So one of the points that they discuss is a machlokas Rambam and Ravid and Hilchas Ishus and Perek Chaf Aleph. The Rambam says Isha Shashav Kalim, a woman who is doing housework and she damages Kalim, which belong to the husband. Beit Shas the Malacha, she is exempt. Why? Ein Zemin Adin. Really, she should be Chayeves. El Takana. This was a Takana of Chazal. Shem Ein Ata Omer Kain. Were we not to say this? Ein Shalom Atocha Bayis La'olam. This is what they call the Shalom Bayis. In order for the marriage to run smoothly, Chazal did not give the husband a claim against his wife. Ravid disagrees and says, Lomen Hashem Uzeh, that's not the reason. It is Meikra Din. Why? Ravid says, Pshia Bebailim. We know one of the exemptions of the liability of Shomrim is Shmira Bebailim. If the owner was working for the Shomer at the time of the initial Shmira, the commencement of the Shmira, the Shomer does not have liability as a Shomer. The Ravid says, the husband is Socher LaBachal Shah. He works for her. He's responsible to her. B'chol Shah. That's how marriage works, the Ravid says. Therefore, it's Shmira B'Bailim. Now, the Mishnah Melech and many later Achronim are matmi on this Ravid. They say, what on earth is the Ravid talking about? Pshia B'Bailim. Shmira B'Bailim. What does it have to do with Shomrim? She broke a dish. That's Mazik. That's Mazik. That's Adam Mazik. Why are we applying the rules of Shomer to an Adam? So the Achronim grapple with this Ravid, but one approach to the Ravid, this is mentioned by the Avnei Nezer, for example, in Choshen Mishpat, in his Tshuvas, and Simon Yates, he says, the Ravid held, like the Riva, like the Ramban. He says, of course, it's not Mestaver to say that which the Mishnah Melech tries to suggest, but most of the Achronim don't like it. It's not Mestaver at all to say that the rule of Pshia B'Bailim actually applies to Mazik, he says. The Pshan of the Ravid is, he holds like the Ramban of the Riva, that as long as you're working for somebody else and you're an authorized, your actions with regard to this object are authorized, the category of Adam Mazik no longer applies, and we have to apply the rules of Shomrim. And once we apply the rules of Shomrim, then the rule of Pshia B'Bailim kicks in. The Machne Ephraim in Hilchas Shomrim, Simon Lamates, actually has a different approach to the Ravid. And what he proposes is in his discussion of the Ravid is actually a third approach to our sugya, why there is no Adam Amazik for the slaughterer who damages the animal. Machne Ephraim says that If a person drops something, or he trips, and he bumps into something, which is one of the Raya's Tosas brought, that you don't see Adamu Ad La'olam, because the Gemara seems to analyze that from the perspective of Shomer, not Mazik. So the Machne Ephraim suggests, this is in Shomer and Lamentes, that Adamu Mazik Lo Havi Ala Mazik Begufo, direct Mazik Begufo, you take a plate and you smash it, that's Adamu Mazik. You fell on it, or you threw it, you threw something at it, or you threw it at something. If he dropped the utensil and it broke, that's not called direct mazik of the person. He doesn't use the word grama, but it's a similar idea, I guess. Such a thing is not called adma mazik, and it has to be considered from the perspective of shamrim. And then he goes on, and he says, that's trying to tabachum and shekel kel too. He says, the reason there's no din adma mazik here, he says, is because the hezek happened with mesha pirchisa behema. The behemoth jumped, or the behemoth twitched, and that's what caused the problem. Lanasa begufay dafka. He himself didn't cause it. It's really not clear what Machne Ephraim actually means. Presumably, shechita, the damage can happen in different ways. Sometimes it can happen by the behemoth jumping, sometimes it can happen by the knife slipping, or by him pressing too hard, or by him and getting the wrong place. So I don't know why the Machne Ephraim can assume that every tabachum and shekilkil is automatically in pesha perchisa, but the general idea of the Machne Ephraim is that there's no adam mazik here. Not because it's known as Gomer like Tosus, not because of the Riva, which he discusses also, and the Ramban, that since he's working for the victim, there's no Adam Hazik, but for a new reason. It's not considered direct Hazik, it's not considered he did it be a dime, it's considered that it happened during his involvement, but it's not considered his actual Hazik, and therefore it has to fall into the category of Shamrim, and not Adam Hazik. Another Rishon, who many of the Acharonim put into the same camp as the Riva and the Ramban, is the Ramah. The Ramah is actually on Ar Sugya. We noted before, the Gemara says that if the client wants the Tabach to be liable, he should be Machtim Lo Schar. It doesn't just say he should promise him Schar, it says Yachtim Lo Schar. Now, most of the poskim don't pick up on this, but there is a Shita of the Ramah, Rameir Halevi Abu Lafia, brought on the Shita Mekubetzes, who says, no, Yachtim is Dafka. And he says if he was just promised, but he hasn't been paid the Schar yet, he won't have the status of the Schar. Why? So the Ramah explains at some length, he says, in order for the Tabach to be Chayev, he has to have either made a Kinyan, Hagbar or Mashiach, he says, or if he hasn't gotten around to making a Kinyan, or if he deliberately doesn't want to make a Kinyan because he doesn't want to have liability, then the client will want to promise him Schar, he says. Not promise, he'll have to be Machtim him Schar. And basically, he says, the Halacha Psuka is, he says, that the Tabach will only be liable under the rubric of Schar if he either was actually given the Schar in advance or if he made a Kinyan. And the Acharonim, the Avinezer again in Siman Yud Tes, and the Chalkas Yav, his student in his Tshuvas in Chosh Mishpat Siman Yud Beis, and the Rebina, all suggest that if we're working with Adam Amazik, he says, why would you need any sort of Kenyan or any sort of advance of Schar? He says, Adam Amazik, a person's liable. He says, and they say it must be that the Ramah also was assuming that Adam Amazik is not operating in this Gemara, perhaps for the reason of the Riva they suggest and the Ramban. But whatever the reason is, the Ramah also is assuming that there is no din adam mazik here, and that's why you need schar to be mechayev, basically as a shomer. So to summarize, what we've seen so far is that Tosis Shita is that there is adam mazik here unless it was ones gomer, and that's bechinam, it's considered ones gomer, but beschar, then you're chayev because you no longer have the excuse of ones gomer. A number of other Rishonim, though, assume that ones gomer does not apply at all, either because he's an authorized worker for the victim, or because the Machne Ephraim Svara, that it's not considered direct, actual hezek from the guy himself. And therefore, there's an issue of Shamrim here, and Shamrim needs Kenyan, or needs... Rabina actually suggests that you might possibly not need a Kenyan here, because Haskalas Malacha, beginning to work, can substitute for Kenyan, but the Ramah says Kenyan. Kenyan or advance of the Schar. And the Poskim Lamaisa don't bring that. The Ramah is probably a Das Yachid about this. But nevertheless, this is the other Mahalach in the Sugya, that there is no Din Adam HaMazik. There is no Din Adam HaMazik for these various reasons. Now, there actually are a number of important nafkaminas between Adam HaMazik and Shomrim. On the one hand, Shomrim has a number of important limitations. Karka and certain other things are nismayed from Shomrim. There's no Din Shomrim on Karka. Shomrim, according to many poskim, as we just discussed, needs a kenyan. It's actually on the Chalutz Shomrim, but many poskim say Shomrim needs a kenyan. Without a kenyan, there won't be a din Shomrim. Also, we saw earlier the Shmir B'Bailam. According to most Acharonim, Shmir B'Bailam will never apply to Mazik, but it does apply to Shomrim. There is, however, an afkamina in the other direction, and this point is made by the is made by the Tvua Shar in Yarday and Simon Yudches Sifkan Chavdalad. He's discussing a machlokas between the Lavush and the Taz and the Shach and the Nekudas HaKasif over there. They're discussing a case of a Tabach, a Shochet, who made a mistake and caused a problem with the animal, but it wasn't direct. We're not going to get into the exact details of the case, but basically they're discussing whether this is considered Grama or Garmi. Garmi has certain criteria. In order to be Chaya for Garmi, it has to be perhaps Bari Hazeka, and it has to be Miad. They're discussing whether the case they're talking about does meet these criteria, does not meet the criteria. And basically, all those Achronim are assuming, the Taz, the Shach, the Lavush, are all assuming that it's a form of Grama and Garmi, and it has to be analyzed from the perspectives of Grama and Garmi. Says it's for sure, no. He says it has nothing to do with, he has problems with the Shach's analysis, and he says, L'nias Daiti, Ein L'damas Din Zek Klal Din Inde Garmi. This has nothing to do with Garmi, he says. This is Shomrim. As we just saw, aside from Tosis, many poskim assume that the relevant category here is Shomrim. And even though Shomrim has certain limitations, as we just listed, Shomrim also has one very big mila over Mazik. It applies in certain cases where Mazik does not apply, and that is Grama. There's actually a lot of debate about this in Hilcha Shomrim, but according to many poskim, and that seems to be the Pashtus, a Shomer is often going to be chayev even though he has not done an actual act of hezek to the chayfetz. He leaves the barn door unlocked and the cow runs away. That's a classic example of a case that a shomer is chayev. That certainly is not mazik b'yadayim. The poskim explain that is the chiddush of shomerim, that a shomer is chayev for allowing harm to befall the property that he's watching. Says the Tvua Shar, say here too. It's true that in these cases of grama, it's not a mazik b'yadayim. It might not even be garmi. It might only be grama. But so what? But he assumes that we're working here as a shomer, and a shomer is chayev for grama also. So now we'll move to the next part of the sugya of maradin l'shulchani. Actually, before we go, one last point: we saw that the Gemara used the category of mumcha. A mumcha, if it's bechinam, is potter. But even bechinam, if he's not a mumcha, he's chayev. The Gemara does not actually define what a mumcha is. The Shach and Siman Shinvav cites a marshal that if he has slaughtered birds, fowl, three times, that's a mumcha. It's difficult to know, though, how this translates into modern scenarios. The Pesach Choshen, in Perakid Gimel, in Hilchas Chirus, where he discusses these things, doesn't really know. He says, let's say you have a watchmaker who damages the watch. Are you going to tell me if he fixed watches three times, he's a mumcha? He says, but every repair involves different techniques and different parts of the watch. He says, you can't just say the mere fact that he hangs out a shingle and works as a watchmaker, that's a mumcha. The Gemara is clear that even a professional shochet is not a mumcha unless he meets certain criteria. So it's not really clear how to apply this category of mumcha to modern situations. One other point, Pesach Choshen notes, is that the Imre Bina in Hilchas Dayanim, the previous Imre Bina was in Siman Laman in Dayanim, this is in Siman Memches. The Imre Bina suggests that a tabachum and shekilkel, he brings a raya, he says, but a tabachum and shekilkel, even if it's bechinam, and even if he's a mumcha, that he's potter, still there is a chi of lasses de shemayim. Most poskim apparently don't discuss this explicitly, but the Rabbina suggests that he still will be chayav lotzis de shemayim. Okay, so the next part of the sugya in Bava Kamma deals with Maradiner L'Shulchani. The Shulchani is an expert in coins, a money changer, and he was consulted by someone who was considering accepting a certain coin. He didn't know, the civilian didn't know if the coin was good or not. The Shulchani said, "Yeah, it's good. You can take it as payment for the debt, or as payment for something you're trying to sell." And the Shulchani made a mistake, and now for whatever reason we can't catch the original the person who gave him the dinar. The other Gemara brings machlokas. Tani chad that uman is potter again, and hadyud is chayev. Tani idach even an uman is chayev. The Gemara says the chiluk is danku v'isser. People who have reached the level of expertise, as the famous danku v'isser, who were two famous expert money changers. The Lo Tzrich L'Migmar Klal, they're so expert, there's nothing left for them to learn. They are Potter. Ordinary people are Chayev. That's the first part of the Gemara. Then the Gemara brings a story with Rav Chia. Rav Chia, the Gemara says, was also on the same level as Danku V'Isser, and still he paid out to someone who he had caused harm to. The Gemara asks, why? We just said Danku V'Isser are Potter. The Gemara says, that was Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. Then the Gemara brings a third story. The Gemara says that somebody said, asked the money changer, is this good? And he said, yeah. And he said, Chazid alakas amichna, I'm relying on you. And the Gemara says, Chayev, because we're done, Dina de Garmi, so he's Chayev. These are the three parts of the second half of the Gemara. So, first of all, connecting this to the previous part of the Sugya, We saw at some length that there is a major machlokes aposkim whether the operating category here is mazik or shomer. So the Divrei Yecheskel asks, according to the shitas that say it's shomer, this is in the end of Siman Lamed Zayin, Osches, Tzarchi and Godly says, how can shomer possibly apply to the money changer? There is no money he's a shomer on. He's simply giving advice and suggesting to the client to take the dinar. The dinar is not even worth anything. So he gave really bad advice, and he called him a hefsid, and maybe that's garmi, and maybe that's mazik. He says, but how on earth can you call that? Can you call that a shomer? What property is he watching? How can you have a shomer without property to watch? According to Tosfos, that we're working with adam mazik, he says, fine. So then if he gives bad advice, it could be adam mazik, garmi, or adam mazik. But according to the poskim that say that there is no adam mazik for the various reasons that we discussed, then and you have to work as a shomer. How on earth, he says, can this money changer be held liable as a shomer? He doesn't know, and he says, Tzarchi and Gadol. This kasha is also discussed by Davnei Nezer in the tshuva we mentioned previously, in Siman Yutess. He does have a resolution. He mentions a Gemara. He brings a raya. We're not going to get into the details of the raya, but he basically tries to argue that a shomer, even if the object he's a shomer on turns out to be worthless, but if by not doing what he's supposed to do, he thereby causes his client, the person who gave him the object to watch, to be chayev, he actually will be chayev as a shomer. He brings a raya from a Gemara of Mitzia, and from a Shittim Kubetzis in that Gemara, but there's a big chiddush, and he himself starts by asking it as a kasha, but he says, l'maisa, this is a din. A shomer can be chayev even if the money he was given is not actually worth anything. If l'maisa, by acting properly, he could have ensured that his client would be better off. The case over there was that the client had a bad animal that was terminally ill. Had the shepherd told the client the animal is bad, do something about it, the client could have run back to his supplier and gotten his money back, and now it's too late. Very similar to our case. So even though the animal is worth nothing because it's terminal, or worth not so much because you have to shecht it right away, still, since it could have been exchanged, the shomer's chayev. Even though he wasn't a shomer on the full value, he was only a shomer on an animal that was a half-price animal, he's still chayev, the Avnezer says, for the full price. So here too, now like the Divrei Yecheskel says, even though the dinar, there is no money he's a shomer on, still, he can be chayev for any loss that he indirectly caused to his principal. This is sort of like what we saw before, that a shomer is chayev for grama, but here it's a case where he wasn't even a shomer on any item of value, and still he's chayev for a sort of grama for the harm he caused, a tremendous chiddush, to his principal. And the truth is, even though I call it a chiddush, there are certain precedents elsewhere in halacha. One example is, there was a major machlokes aposkim about a shomer who was supposed to sell the item that he was watching for his daughter to spoil, and he can't contact the principal, or Mechiras Chametz is a classic example discussed by many Achronim in Siman Taf Mem Gimel and Aruch Chaim, Magen Avraham, and later Achronim, the Avin Ozer, the Beis Meir, the Netziv, and Meshev Dover. Major machlokes whether the shomer is chayav, Machan Ephraim discusses this, Melchah Shomer and Siman Laman Hey, I think. Major machlokes whether the shomer is held liable for not selling. And there are many different svaras, many different considerations, Reishel Cholofanecha, and whether it's Pshia or not, but one of the issues raised is that I couldn't have saved the object. The object was going to be destroyed. Pesach is coming. The Chametz is going to be worth nothing. I could not in any manner, shape, or form have saved you Chametz. What could I have done? I could have sold it and gotten you cash. I'm not a shomer on that cash. I'm a shomer on this Chametz, and this Chametz is being destroyed. Some posts can say no. Since L'maisa, I could have ensured that my principal would not suffer a loss. For that itself, I'm chayav as a shomer. And this is very similar to the Svar of Avinezer. Just there, the Tomat Chametz, at least it was once worth something, or still maybe worth something before I sell it. Here we're talking about a case where it's not worth anything at all, but there are poskim who have this idea that a shomer can be held liable even if he's not actually holding an asset of any value. Similarly, there's a tshuva in the Divrei Malkiel. He's discussing an insurance agent who accepted a premium from a client but failed to do the proper paperwork, so the policy was not properly registered with the insurer, and when the house burned down, they would not pay for the damage. So the Divrei Malkiel discusses, he goes back and forth as to whether the agent can be held liable, whether he's the company's agent or the client's agent. But one of the things he discusses is whether the agent can be held liable for the loss he caused to the client from the perspective of shomer. And it's a plea. What shomer? You want to hold him liable for the loss of the premium, the $200 that he didn't pay, then give him back the premium, make him pay for the premium. But the house, the $500,000 house, how is he a shomer on the house? The house is karka. He was never a shomer on the house anyway. So the Divrei Malkiel seems to have held the same idea, that once you're a shomer, you can actually be held liable for other losses that you caused to the client through your negligence, even though the object that you're actually watching is not worth that much. There are a number of other points we should note in this Gemara of Maradin L'Shulchani. Tosfos makes the point that when the Gemara asked, why is he pater b'chinam, and the Gemara had to answer, danku v'isser, the Gemara didn't just say that b'chinam you're pater just like the Gemara before. The Gemara asked the Stira and had to answer that only danku v'isser is pater. The Gemara did not want to say that b'chinam you're always pater just like the Shochet is, because hakaras matbeya, judging and evaluating coins, is tzarech b'kiyas gadol. That takes a very high level of expertise, and it was not mistaver to the Gemara that the shulchani, that the money changer, should be off the hook, even if he was b'chinam, unless he reaches the level of danku b'isser, and that is how we pass into the Shulchan Aruch. Now, one major machlokas here is, we mentioned there were three stories. In the second story of Rav Chia, he just said he's chayev, he's pater because it's danku b'isser, and he paid from the Meshur Sadin. Had he not been danku b'isser, he would have been chayev. In the third story, the Gemara makes a point of saying that the client said, chazid da'alachas amechna, I'm relying on you. Is that lahalacha or not? Is it true that Maradin L'Shulchani is only chayev if the client expressly stipulated, I'm relying on you? The Rif says yes. The Rif says, Shemina mina, that hediot, even if you're not danku v'isser, so you're chayev, you're only chayev, ad demodelei dalei kasamach. The client has to declare, alei kasamach. Otherwise, he could say, lo yadana dalei kasamach. I didn't know you were relying on me, so I didn't give my best answer. V'imucha dalei samach lo tzarech lo duyi. You don't actually have to tell him, and if it's muchach, if it's clear from the situation that he's relying on you, that's also good. Tosfos disagrees. Rambam holds like the Rif, but Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that Rav Chia did, in Rav Chia's case, he didn't say it. And he said, the last Gemara, it said Rafa the Milsa. But you see from the Rav Chia Gemara that you don't have to say it. But the Rif says you do have to say it. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Rif of the Rambam, that you're only chayev if you say Alachas Amechna and Siman Shinvav. The Ramah brings a sheet of Tosfos and the Rosh that you're always chayev. But even the Ramah says, Svar Rishon Nira Iker, and that is the opinion of the Shach too. Although he brings a Mashal that Paskin, like the Yesh Amram, like the Rosh, that you're chayev. This is a big machlokus, whether the liability of the Shulchani is limited to the case where the client stipulated alach kasamichna, or where it's muchach, or he's always chayev, and that was l'Ravcha de Milsa. The Nesivus, though, notes, and with just one line, he says it's pashut, he doesn't give any raya, he says that the whole issue of alach kasamichna, whether you need it or not, is only when it's bechina. But if it's b'schar, if the Shulchani is accepting schar, then he's always chayev. And the Chavetz Chaim Sharon and Madura Tinyana, the Chuvas Madura Tinyana, Simon Samachay explains that he says, Lom Lani Libi Lintas Medivar Nesivas. Lamaisi says, Nesivas passing this way, and I don't want to disagree, he says. And the Hezber is, Svaras or Nira, Dekima de Nosin Los Charalzat, since he's paying for him, Vade Rotzilis Machalop. Just like the Rif says, Muchacha Milsa can take the place of Alakas Amechna, if it's clear. So anytime you pay Schar, it's clear. If you're paying Schar, that means you're relying on him. Even though one could argue it's not always true, sometimes somebody will go to a doctor, ask for an opinion and still go to another doctor, even though he's paying good money to the first doctor. This is how the Chavetz Chaim Sharon understands in the Sivas, that Schar takes the place of Alakas Amechna. Now, one other very important machlokas is that the Gemara says, Danku v'Isser, or Rav Chia, who had reached the maximum level of expertise, Lo Tzrichi L'Islami, there's nothing left to learn, are Pater. What about B'Schar? Are they Pater only B'chinim, or are they Pater even B'Schar? So the Rashba says that they're Pater even B'Schar. L'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin the way. The Shulchan Aruch paskin is that b'schar, they are chayef. But the Shach brings that there are posts and we do paskin like the Rashba. He says the Marshal paskin like the Rashba, and he says it's a Marie ben Lev, and the Tshuva says it's a Plukta de Ravasa, and Misfeik l'mafkina mamona, Misafek, the Nitva can say Kimli like the Rashba. What is the Svar of the Rashba? Why are Danku v'Isser Pater b'schar if earlier we saw that Umnim are chayef b'schar? So the Rashba says, Hefresh yesh bein uman deshchita l'uman deriyas matbeyas. There's a big difference between uman deshchita, a shochet, and the money changer. He says, Shchita is tali b'umna seyadayim. It's a physical skill. It takes just practice and expertise. So if you mess up, it's because you did something wrong. So there's a certain level of culpability that you have, and if it's b'schar, you're chayav. Riyas matbeyas, he says, it's not a physical thing that you can slip and you can mess up, he says. Kol shu baki harbek danku v'isser, as long as you've reached the level of expertise of danku v'isser, it just depends on a certain level of expertise and knowledge, he says. It's not your fault. If you make a mistake, that's considered an onus. So even b'schar, you're still potter. And even though the Shulchan doesn't pass like that, we mentioned that there are achronim who say that, at least misafek, that you do pass like that. And there actually is a tremendous nafkamina to this thing. Even though the Rashba is talking about a case of Shulchani and Danku v'Isser, there is actually a nafkamina in a much more common case. The Chavetz Chaim Sharon, the Tshuva we mentioned earlier, it's Simon Pehe actually, not Samachay, but the Chavetz Chaim Sharon was talking about a case of a client, somebody wanted to buy a Sefer Torah, a used Sefer Torah. He asked the sefer, is this Sefer Torah, can it be salvaged? Can you repair the problems that are caused by age or use? Sefer looked at it and said, yeah, I can fix this. So the client bought it, and then the sefer looked at it more carefully and said, nope, this Sefer Torah is hopeless. It can never be fixed. There are too many problems, and more problems keep coming up. So the customer was understandably very unhappy. So one of the svaras that Hillel Sharm says is based on this Rashba. He says, on the one hand, he says, why does we saw a chumra in Tosis that why is this case a maradin l'shulchani? Why are they held to a higher standard? Why do you need danku v'isser? Because hakaras matbeya requires a specially great expert. But that he assumes does not apply to evaluating Sefer Torah. The truth is, we don't have much guidance from the poskim. When do you say something needs umnus yisera, like matbeah? What kind of things don't need umnus yisera, like shochet? So we don't really know. But the Chavos Hillel Sharon understands that this is something specific to money changing, which requires special expertise. But giving opinions on Sefer Torah does not. On the other hand, he says you do have the Rashba. The Rashba says that anything which does not depend on physical skill, then even b'scharia pater. So his case, he says, it doesn't have the chumra of Maradin l'shulchani, but it has the kula of the Rashba. It has the kula of the Rashba that b'schar you'll be pater, that b'chinam you'll be pater, he says, as long as you're an uman. Therefore, he wants to say that in his case, the sofer who gave the bad advice and caused the client to buy a Sefer Torah, which is not salvageable, he says, will be pater based on the svara of the Rashba, and those achronim who hold like him. So to summarize this rather complex sugya, we have the following conclusions. An uman who does physical work, such as a slaughterer, if he was working for free, and he's an expert, a mumche, although as we've seen, the definition of mumche is not very clear, then he is exempt, otherwise he is liable. There is a great machlokas among the poskim whether his liability is under the category of mazik or under the category of shomer. And there are many nafkaminas to this distinction. We mentioned that a shomer may not apply to karka. Shomer may require a kinyan. Shmir of a bailam is potter. These are all restrictions in shomer. On the other hand, a shomer may be chayav and grama. And there's a major machlokas which category operates here. Additionally, there is an opinion that the concept of shomer can apply even to damage, but not to the actual property which he is a shomer on. There are actually many riots to this, although it is a somewhat difficult concept, and it is not clear that this is generally accepted. There is an opinion that when we say b'schar, that if he was paid, then he's chayev, this is only if he actually received money in advance or made a kinyan, but not if he was simply promised money, which he will receive later. But this seems to be a minority opinion, and we do not paskin like this. There is an opinion that even someone who is both mumcha and was not charging, even though he's pater b'dinei adam, is still chayev b'dinei shemayim. These are the rules of a uman who does physical work with his hands. Regarding professionals who give advice, so a shulchani, a money changer who gives bad advice about accepting a certain coin, he's chayev unless he's such a mumcha to the level of danku v'ister that he has nothing left to learn. Ein tzarech l'islamid yoser. And even in such a case, there is an opinion, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that he's still chayev if he was paid. He's only pater if it was bechinam. There's an alternate opinion, the Rashba, the Marshal, or even Lev, that once he reaches such a level of expertise, he is pater even if he's getting paid. Other types of professionals who give advice but aren't shulchani requires extra expertise because Tosfos says recognizing currency is difficult. But other people who give advice but are also not doing physical work, there is an opinion that whether he will be chayav b'schar depends on the two opinions, and that according to the Rashba and those who agree with him, he will be potter even if he gets schar. There's also a major machlokas whether this category of the woman who gives advice, whether he's chayev if he doesn't say chazid alachas amichna, if he isn't explicitly told by his client that he's relying on him. This is a machlokas by Rishonim and Achronim, and there is no clear resolution. We turn now to medical malpractice. Here, there is no real sugya worthy of the name. the discussion in the Rishonim and Acharonim is based on several fairly cryptic lines in the Tosefta. There are three Toseftas, and two of them are in Bava Kamma, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav, and Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel, and one in Makos, Perek Beis, Halacha Hey, in the Hashmata. The three lines read as follows. One of them says, Rofei Uman Sharipai, an expert doctor who heals Bereshus Beis Din, with permission of Beis Din, Vehizik Potter. He's exempt from liability if he damages. Chaval Yester Min Aroi, Harei Zechayev. Not clear exactly what that means. Another Tosefta says, Rofei Uman Sharipai Bereshus Beis Din, Vehizik Potter, but this one adds, Midine Adam. He's only Potter Midine Adam from something that Beis Din can enforce, Vedina Masri L'Shamayim, but he does have a Chiyuv of Latzis Zedei Shamayim. Third Tosefta says, Rofei Uman Sharipai Bereshus Beis Din, Harei Zegol. So all three of these Toseftas refer to a doctor who healed Bereshus Beis Din. One of them says, he's Chayav Golos if he killed the patient. One of them says, Potter Midine Adam, Vedina Masri L'Shamayim. One of them just says Potter, but makes a comment about Chaval Yester Min Haroi. There are various ways to understand these Toseftas. The Shulchan Aruch and the Tur rule in accordance with the explanation of the Ramban as expressed in Taras HaAdam. There are various other approaches in the Rishonim, the Ran, the Tashbats, there are other Mahalchim and the Achronim. In this discussion, we limit ourselves to the opinion of the Ramban, the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch rules as follows. This is in Yardaya, Simon Shin Lamed Vav. Miu lo yis asik berefuah. A person should not involve himself in medicine, even though it's a great mitzvah. Elam kein hu baki. Two conditions. First, he has to be baki. He has to be expert. Also, v'lo yehei sham gadol imanu. There can't be any greater expert around. Shim lo kein, if he does not meet these conditions, reza shofik damim. He's a murderer. Strong language. And a third point that Shulchan Aruch makes, imripe shalob rishus based in, even if you are a baki and there isn't a God-only manu, if you don't have permission of Beis Din, chayav etashlumen, afilum hu baki. So you have to have permission of Beis Din also. Vimripe b'rishus Beis Din v'tah v'hizik. If a person had rishus Beis Din, then he's potter, but only b'dinei adam, v'chayav b'dinei shemayim, and he's chayav galus. This is the opinion of the Ramban, that rishus Beis Din exempts the doctor from liability if he's expert, but he's still chayav dinei shemayim, and there's still a chi of galus, which is like dinei shemayim. What exactly do we mean by rishus Beis Din? So the Beis Hillel in his Chedushim on Yerideya says, what is baki and what is rishus Beis Din? So baki, he says, means he has a certification from the board of expert doctors, which he calls Blush and Ashkenaz doctorate. Basically, Baki means that he's certified by his peers, by the expert doctors, as a qualified doctor, and still you need Rishus Beis Din Yisrael. It's not enough to be certified as a doctor. You also have to have Rishus Beis Din Yisrael. Only then are you Potter B'dinei Adam. He also adds that Kabbalah by the community can take the place of Beis Din. It doesn't have to be actual Beis Din. If the community accepts someone as a doctor, that serves too. But if he has no Rishus Beis Din and he was not accepted by the community, he says again, even though he has this certification, he's still Chayav B'dinei Adam. Furthermore, he says, the certification is not even all that important, he says. If the community has accepted him, even if he does not have this certificate, he's still Potter B'dinei Adam. And he says that in our Medinas, he says there are many doctors who don't have this certification because they're autodidact. They haven't studied at any university or any formal place. They simply korim be'ezus farim shel refuos. They're self-taught in medicine, and if the community accepts them and considers them experts, they are still Potter B'dinei Adam. So the Beis Hillel's position is that all we really care about is that the Beis Din or the community has accepted them to practice medicine. The Sholem Eshev, in his sefer Divrei Shol Yosef Das on Yerideya, mentions this Beis Hillel. He talks about the Ksav, which in his community, in his region, was called a Freigang. He says you need that and Rishus Beis Din, and he laments, "Bavanaseinu Harabim Ein Anog Bizmaneinu." People don't get these required certifications. I'm not sure which one they don't get. They practice medicine without a license from the government, without a license from Beis Din, but he's upset that people do not meet these requirements today. The Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Hei, in his Kuntres Ramas Rachel in Perichov Beis, deals with this, explains why we're not so particular about this. He says, especially in light of the Beis Hillel, he says, what do we mean by Kabbalah's Beis Din? He says, Beis Din are not necessarily experts in medicine. What do they know of medicine? He says, often ain lehem afilu musig b'chokmas harafuah. They have no clue about medicine. Certainly practical medicine. They might know some theory, he says, but certainly, well, why would they know anything about medicine? He says, He says, yes. He says, it's true. He says, the only function of the authorization of Basin is not that they've tested him and they know he's expert. Simply, it's an authority by the communal representatives that they've authorized him. However they come to that decision, they've authorized him and allowed him to practice medicine. And he says, Basil says, you don't even need Basin. He says, even the community's enough. So he says, you see, it has nothing to do with a certification of its expertise. It's simply a decision by the community and its authorities to accept him as a doctor. Therefore, he says, today, he says, the government's authorization can take the place of that. As he mentions in this discussion, it may have been, he says, that in earlier times, whoever this board of doctors who certified their peers was, it wasn't a governmental or national organization. It was some kind of private guild. But today, when we have governments who function as the communal authorities, they take the place of the Kabbalist Basin, and therefore our doctors are not in violation of this rule. They are considered to be operating Berushas Basin. The Aruch HaShulchan, language is, he says, in order to practice medicine, you have to be a Bucky, and you have to have Berushas Basin. And he adds, Ha'idna Tzarech Lihiyos Mutznach Mei HaMashala. Today, he says, you have to be certified by the government. Doesn't really explain whether he means in addition to Rishus of Beis Din, that takes the place of Beis Din, but he does stipulate that a doctor had better be certified by the government. Now, what happens if the doctor is not at fault? If the accident that happened to the patient was injured or died, but there was no fault at all in the doctor's conduct. So here we have a couple of achronim who say that he is indeed not liable, even b'dinei shemayim. The Aruch HaShulchan says this. He says that which you chayav b'dinei shemayim, this is only im hoisal yedeis rashluso. If this was due to negligence on his part, lo ein yafa, he did not exert sufficient care. Dim ein, if he did, ein lo shum chait, he's done nothing wrong at all. Shrei mitzvah l'rapas. And he quotes an aphorism, he attributes it to a chacham, shigat harofei kavanas habare. If something goes wrong, that's God's will, it's not his fault. Similarly, with regard to galus, he says, he's only chayav galus if it was yedeis rashluso, if he was negligent, o shlo ein yafa. Al-Balozia nearly Dana Chayav Golos. He says, you're not Chayav anything. You're not Chayav Dina Shemayim. You're not Chayav Golos if there was no element of negligence on his part. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says something very similar. He's quoted in the Nishmas Avram, in the second expanded edition, in Yerodea, page Tav Lamed Zayin. He says that if a patient comes of his own free will, Meritzono Hatov, to the doctor and asks for a risky operation, and he fully understands the risks of the operation, he says, the doctor is not going to be chayiv if the patient dies, he says, as long as he's done nothing wrong. He says, because the halacha is, he brings a Pesach Shuvah in Yerodei and Siman Shin Lamed Tes, Sifkat Aleph, who says that you're allowed to perform a risky operation in order to save the patient's life. So it makes no sense, if Shlomo Zalman says, to tell the doctor you're allowed to do it, but you're going to have to go to Golos if it doesn't work. He says, as long as the patient fully understood the risk, and as long as the doctor has been careful and has done nothing wrong, he will not be chayav galus, and presumably he will not be chayav dinei shemayim either for damage to the patient. There's also a machlokas here, though, between Rosh Shlomo Zalman and between other achronim. What kind of mistake are we talking about? We're assuming that there was some element of culpability, there was some level of care which was not met. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, also in a letter quoted by Rabbi Abraham in the Nishmas Avram, he's talking about galus. He says, what kind of mistake did the doctor make that we discuss galus? He says, lo mairi klal kishatos hai b'shikla das. We're not talking about a misjudgment or a misdiagnosis. That, he seems to imply, would not be his fault, and he would not go to galus, he seems to imply, and he would not be chayav din yishamayim, he would not be chayav at all. He made his best effort, and he made a mistake in diagnosis or in judgment, and it's not his fault, as we saw before. Lo is rashal klal. What are we talking about? He says, we're talking about a doctor who realized that he needed to prescribe a certain medicine, and he accidentally, somehow carelessly, gave him a different medicine. Or he meant to take a properly prepared knife to dissect the patient with, and instead he took an unsterilized knife. These kind of mistakes, they're not simply errors of judgment which are not his fault. These, I guess he means, are more careless. By taking the wrong medicine or the wrong knife, that's a level of carelessness for which he can be chayiv. But for an error of judgment, that's not his fault. Tzitz Eliezer, however, and the Menachas Yitzchak, who agrees to him, this is in Tzitz Eliezer in the Ramas Rachel, Perachav Gimel, Ospeis, and Shuvas Menachas Yitzchak, Hele Gimel, Simon Kufhei, Ozayin. They say just the opposite. They say that this whole sugya is only talking about errors of judgment. That's where we have all these rules about Rishus based and Anat, and Baki, and Patrini Adam, Chayv Din Yishamayim. He says, but if they actually gave him the wrong medicine, they say, That's Mazi Gomery says. How can anybody be punished for such a thing? He says that the Rofe knows he's dealing with life and death. If he's careless enough to give the wrong medicine, he says it's the Rofe's job to pay attention to what he's doing. He says if he makes such a mistake, that's Ademud La'olam, that's clearly Chayev, and there is no possibility of letting the Rofe off the hook for such a mistake. We mentioned earlier that one of the conditions mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch is that the Rofe should only practice if he has no peer, if there is no one greater than him. So it's hard to know what that means, whether we actually follow this rule b'zman hazeh. Sisli Ezer again says that first of all he says, of course, if the greater doctor is not available, then obviously the lesser doctor can practice. He's only supposed to defer to the greater one. If the greater one is available, then the patient should be treated by the best doctor. But obviously he says if the gadol is not available, then the lesser doctor can certainly practice. He also adds that diseases and problems which have clear and well-defined treatments that are mefursim, he says, they're well-known and they're accepted and they're taught by the teachers, he says that the lesser doctor can practice too. But still, the Tzitzel seems to agree that when you're dealing with a condition which doesn't have a clear course of treatment and does require real medical skill, not just rote practice, and there are two doctors and one of them is better, he seems to accept the basic halacha of the Shulchan Aruch that the lesser doctor should not be practicing. He should be deferring to the greater doctor. I don't know if in practice the post can really expect doctors to conduct themselves like this today. One last point. We discussed in the earlier segment of our lecture the distinction between schinam and schar, artisans who work for money or who are working for free. An artisan who charges money has a greater liability. What about doctors? So here we find a couple of contemporary poskim who both suggest that a doctor who charges will be chayev, and that the sif in the Shulchan Aruch, everything we've been discussing until now, is a doctor who does not charge. This point is made by Rabbi Shlomo Zafrani in his Sefer Shimru Mishpat Simon Pei Vav, and by Rabbi Yossi Fleischman in an excellent comprehensive article on medical malpractice in the Kovetz Umka Dedina. He discusses pretty much everything we've discussed here, plus many other shittos also. They both suggest that a doctor who charges will be chayev and will not have the various exemptions that we discussed. Why? So the first part they both mention is simply by analogy to the uman or to the dayan shita, that other kinds of professionals who err, as we've seen, if they have charged, then the standard is higher and then they're chayev. So similarly, the doctor who charges will also be held to a higher standard and will not be able to claim the patur of a doctor who made an unfortunate mistake. Rabbi Fleischman adds two other svaras also. He says that, first he says, why is a doctor patur? Because he has rishus beistin. He says, but since a doctor is not allowed to charge, that's one of the mitzvahs of, for any mitzvah, you're not allowed to charge. Therefore, he says, by definition, he can't have rishus beistin if he's charging. Similarly, he says, various posts can explain that the basis for the exemption of a doctor is because tikkun olam. So he suggests that we're not out to help out doctors who are doing the wrong thing by charging. So I'm not sure exactly what Rabbi Fleischman means. The other examples of people not allowed to charge include a dayan is not allowed to charge, a rebbe is not allowed to charge, and yet we do charge. And the poskim have grappled with this for centuries, trying to find justifications for it. But the minute clearly is that dayanim and teachers, even of Limudei Kodesh, do charge. And doctors too. I don't know if a Fleischman really means that all the frum doctors who charge Jewish patients are all doing an avera. They're all doing shaloka din, or he's willing to accept that they have various heterim. Insofar as they have heterim, then the argument that he doesn't have rishus beistin or that we don't make tikkun olam for him would not seem to apply. But as he himself notes, the third svar he says that it's like other an uman or a dayan shita that would seem to apply. That would seem to apply even if the money he's charging is mutter. So the example he gives is Schar B'Teila, which is one of the terem to charge. Since self he's charging, he would have the higher level of responsibility, just like the various sorts of artisans and just like a dayan. So in summary, here are the basic principles that we have. A doctor who operates brishus based in and is expert is patur b'dinei adam, but he's still chayav b'dinei shamayim. Some explain that the idea of brishus based in just means communal acceptance. We also have an opinion that if he has done nothing wrong at all, Baruch HaShulchan HaRav Shlomo Zalman, then there is no chiyuv even b'dinei shamayim. There are two different approaches to this whole halacha. What kind of mistake are we talking about? Some suggest that we're talking about an error of judgment, but an error of actually giving the wrong medicine and making a mistake like that, or of injecting the wrong syringe, or taking the wrong knife would be similar. That's a straight Adma Mazik, and there are no exemptions. Rosh Hamazalan's opinion is just the opposite, that we're talking about those kinds of mistakes of the wrong syringe or the wrong knife, but an error of judgment is not chayav at all. And we also mentioned that there is an opinion that if the doctor is charging, then he's always chayav for various reasons. Not all the reasons are entirely clear to me, but it does make sense. It does make sense to say that if he's charging, he would be like an uman, and he would be chayav, he would be held to the higher level of responsibility, although it is a little difficult to understand why the earlier poskim, the Shulchan Aruch and the earlier poskim, make no mention of such a basic and important qualification to the halacha they bring. One last point. Our entire discussion heretofore has been exclusively concerned with the native halachic perspective on malpractice. The application of native halachic principles, such as mazik and shomer, to malpractice scenarios. In modern society, where there is a well-established body of malpractice law, we would also have to consider the questions of Dina de Malchusa and Minhag Mevatel Halacha, especially since people's expectations when they deal with professionals will often be that the professional will be responsible according to the rules and principles of malpractice legislation. Rav Yosef Fleischman in Umkud Adina, this is again in the volume on Gneva, Gzeila, and Nizakin, he brings a letter from Rav Mendel Shafran, who is known in general as being a strong supporter of following the law and the modern convention on such things. He says certainly the doctor is responsible and his insurance is responsible according to modern malpractice law, based on the rule of Minhag. And he says, this is on page 66, he says, if we were not say that, he uses strong language, he says, in Cain, if karta damam shel sharmei tara, we're being mafkir, the lives of people who keep Torah, when they see Jewish doctors listed kosm shel harofim. We're relying on the goodness of the doctors if they know they're immune from legal consequences. So it has to be, he says, that Minhag is binding in this area. On the other hand, he brings a letter from Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg on page 68. He doesn't discuss the latter question about Hefkar Tadamim, but he does say that he's not convinced that Minhag really applies here. He says that the classic examples of Minhag in the context of workers of Poelim is that if the question is when they have to show up for work, Lahashkim or not Lahashkim, to show up early or not, we follow Minhag. The question is whether he has to supply them with certain food, we say Akol Kamenik HaMedina. That, he says, is regarding the question of their job description. What do they have to do and how does he have to treat them, he says. But to introduce a new obligation to pay for damages where the Torah doesn't require it, he says, Rav Zalman Lachemi is not at all convinced that Minhag would be relevant here. He says the doctor would have to refund the fee he was paid for his services if he didn't do the job properly, he says. But to create a new obligation to pay for damages, he's not sure that Minhag would really require that. Regarding the general question of the application of the laws of Dina Malchus Adina and Minhag Mevatel Halacha to contemporary modern civil law, I have discussed this at some length in another lecture I recorded recently on the question of bankruptcy, where I discuss the application of those principles to bankruptcy and to rent control. Much of the analysis would be relevant here too.